Today's shir is Perek Shlishi Mehilchos Machalas Asuros, the third chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Halacha Aleph, paragraph 1. Kol machal hayotze mimin min haminim ha'asurim shalokin al achilasam hari osa ha-machal asur ba'achila min ha-torah. Any food which is a product of any of the forbidden species whose consumption is forbidden, for which the Torah requires flogging, that food one may not eat biblically. Kigon, for example, chalev behema v'chayi hatmeim, the milk of unclean animals and beasts. Beit ze'of v'dog hatmeim, the eggs of a fowl or a fish that are unclean, they are also forbidden. The product of an unclean creature is likewise forbidden. Shenemar, ve'ezbas hayana, as the Torah says in the book of Leviticus, and the daughter of the Yana. And what does that mean, the daughter of the Yana? That means its egg. Zu beitzasa. This refers to its egg. V'hu adin l'chol ha'asar k'yana o l'chol ha'dvarim ha'domin l'beitza. And the same thing would be true about anything that is forbidden, just as the Yana is forbidden, and for anything that is analogous to the egg, a product of a forbidden food, of a forbidden animal or creature. In other words, this law of Bas Hayana, the daughter of the Yana, sets a precedent for anything that is analogous to it. Halacha Beis, paragraph 2. Chalev ha'adam muta ba'achila, avo pishib sar ha'adam asa ba'achila, u'kvar b'yarnu shehu ba'asei. Human milk is permitted, even though human flesh is forbidden. We have already explained that human flesh is forbidden by a positive commandment. But nevertheless, human milk is permissible. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Dvash devodrim udvash tzirayim muter, v'pnei she'eino metamtes gufan, elekonsen osa min ha'asavim, betoch piyen, u'mekiyen osa bekaveres, k'dei she'yimtsu osa lechol mimeno b'yemosek shamim. Bees and hornets' honey is permitted, since it is not excreted from their bodies, rather they collect it from the flowers into their mouths, and then regurgitate it into the hive. And they do this in order that they have available food for the winter. So the honey is not a part of their bodies, it is extracted from their bodies, but rather it is something that they merely carry in their bodies. Halacha Dala, paragraph 4. Avo pisha chalev adam mutar, asur chachamim legadol linak osam min hashadayim. Ele chalev is ish letoch hakli b'shosa. Although we already mentioned before, in Halacha Beis, paragraph 2, that human milk is permitted, the sages have nevertheless forbidden an adult to suckle it directly from the breast. The woman must first milk it into a utensil, and only then may the adult drink it. And if an adult does suckle it directly from the breast, we consider this as though he had suckled unclean substance and is punishable by flogging prescribed for disobedience. That means it is not a violation of biblical law for which biblical flogging would be administered, but there is a flogging that is given for rebelliousness by the rabbis, and this person would be subject to that. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Yonik tinuk v'holich afila arba chamish shanim. A child may continue to suckle even 4 or 5 years. V'im gemaluhu ufar shlosh yamim o yaser machmas burio lo machmas cholyo ein achoz of a yonik. However, if the child was already weaned and was separated from nursing for at least 3 days or more, and it was through his health or while he was healthy, not because of illness. If it would have been because of illness, it wouldn't matter. But if it was in a time of health, this child may not resume suckling and nursing. Vahu provided, shigamaluhu acha esem v'arba chodesh, if he was weaned after 24 months. Aval betozman ze, afilu gamaluhu chodesh ha-shnayim, muta larza v'linak atzof esem v'arba chodesh. But within the 24-month period, even if he was weaned, the child was weaned for a month or two, it is permissible to return and to have the child nurse again, resume nursing, until the end of 24 months. So that, in effect, if the child never stopped, was never weaned, then the child can keep on nursing 4 or 5 years. But if he was weaned within 24 months, even though it is permissible to resume nursing, as we mentioned before, but it only is permissible to resume nursing up until 24 months and not beyond that. That is how the Beis Yosef explains the words of the Rambam. Halacha Vav, paragraph 6. Apple pi shechalev behema tmeya ubeite of tami asur min hatodra ein lokin aleihem. Even though the milk of an unclean animal and the eggs of an unclean fowl are biblically forbidden, one does not get lashes for them. One is not subject to flogging because of the consumption of one of these things. Shenemar, because it says in the Torah, Mipsarim lo tochelu, from their meat, from their flesh, you shall not eat. From which we deduce, Al habasar hu loke, vein loke al habeitzav al hacholav. One gets flogging for the meat, but one does not get the lashes for an egg or for the milk. However, one who does eat this is the equivalent of eating less than the minimal amount. For example, if one eats less than a kezias, an olive's worth of meat that is not kosher, one does not get lashes either, although it is biblically forbidden. Likewise here, even though it is biblically forbidden, it is not subject to flogging. However, the rabbis have the right to administer lashes for disobedience, but it is not subject to the biblical form of flogging. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Yiro'el li she'ochel beitzi dogim temeim hanimtzayim b'me'ehem ke'ochel kirvei dogim temeim v'lokim min ha'torah. The Rambam says, and this is something that he doesn't say very often, what his own opinion would be. It would appear to me, he says, that whoever eats the roe of an unclean fish which is found in its belly should be regarded as though he had eaten the intestines of unclean fish and is liable to a flogging based on the Torah. Unlike what we learned in the preceding paragraph, that eggs, we do not subject the person to flogging if he would eat eggs of an unclean fowl, but in this case there is flogging. Since it is still within, it is found within the fish and is not something that comes out of it. And the same thing the Rambam said would apply to the eggs of unclean birds which are still attached to the cluster and which have not yet been separated and matured. Whoever eats of them should be liable to a flogging as though he had eaten of the bird's intestines itself. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Beitas of tamei shehischol ha'afroch l'hisrakim ba v'acholom. If a person eats the egg of an unclean bird in which the embryo had already begun to form, he is then subject to a flogging because it is considered to be a winged, creeping thing. If, however, he eats the egg of a clean bird, kosher bird, whose embryo had begun to form, he is liable to a flogging that is prescribed by the rabbis for disobedience. Halacha Tes, paragraph 9. Nimtza aleha kored dam. Im ala chelbon zarek is adam. V'ochel es ashar. Im ala chelbon asura kula. If a drop of blood is found upon the egg, the rule is as follows. If it is upon the white of the egg, a person may simply discard the drop and eat the rest of it. If the blood is found on the yolk, the whole egg is forbidden. Beitza hamuzeres hanefesh hayafa tochlena. A non-fertilized egg may be eaten if one is not fastidious. The way Rashi, in his commentary in the Talmud, explains this, it's an egg that is not fertilized by a male, but the mother is warmed up, heated by the earth, and she lays her eggs. And those eggs can never bring a chicken into the world. It is permissible to eat those, however, that is only if one is not fastidious, and one doesn't mind eating such an egg. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Efroach shenolad afal pishlo nispatcho einav mutlo achlo. A newborn chick may be eaten even before it has opened up its eyes. Behema tahara shenitrefa chalav asura kechalev behema tmeya. Now, a kosher animal, a clean animal, that has been rendered trefa because it has a fatal disease, a defect, its milk is now forbidden, just like the milk of an unclean animal. Likewise, the egg of clean fowl that became treif, that is now no longer kosher, is the same as the egg of an unclean fowl, and it is forbidden. Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11. Efroach shenolad mebeitzas treifa muter, she'ein mino tamei. A chick hatched from the egg of a treifa bird is permitted. A treifa is a bird that has a physical defect that would prove to be fatal. And that, of course, is not kosher. However, the egg of that bird is permitted. And the Rambam gives the reason for it, so long as the species itself is not unclean. Since the species is a kosher one, the fact that it is a treifa does not render it treif, unkosher. Now, if the bird is doubtfully treifa, we don't know if it's treifa or not, all the eggs of the first batch must be kept back. If it thereupon bears a second batch and begins to lay them, the first batch of eggs is permitted. For had the bird been a real treifa, it would have laid no more eggs. If it lays no more eggs, then the first batch is forbidden. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Chalev behema tmeya eina nikba biomed kechalev hatahora. The milk of an unclean animal, a non-kosher animal, does not curdle and become thick like the milk of a clean animal, of a kosher animal. V'im nisar of chalev tmeya b'chalev behema tahora kishetamid osa yamud chalev hatahora v'yetzah chalev hatmeya im hakom shel gevina. Now, if the milk of an unclean animal is mixed with that of a kosher animal and is set, only the milk of the clean animal will become thick, while the milk of the unkosher animal will become out with the whey of the cheese. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13, which continues paragraph 12. Umepnei zeh yitin hadin. Shakol chalav hanimtza biyad goy osur, shema erev bo chalev behema tmeya. Ugvinas hagoy mutera, she'en chalev behema tmeya mizgabin. Now, based on what we just learned in paragraph 12, the rule should be that while milk in the possession of a non-Jew should be forbidden because he might have mixed with it milk of an unkosher animal, however, the cheese of a non-Jew should be permitted since the milk of a non-kosher animal cannot make cheese, it cannot curdle. Avul b'mechach mi-mishne gazru al gvinas ha-goyim v'asarum b'pnei sh'mamidin osam b'or kebo sh'ashchitasam sh'hine vela. However, the rabbis, the sages of the Mishnah, decreed a prohibition against non-Jewish cheese as well. And the reason is that the non-Jew might have set it with the membrane of the stomach of an animal slaughtered according to their own method, which is considered to be nevela. It is not kosher slaughtered properly. V'im tom avahalo or hakeva davar katan hu ad miyod b'chalov shamad bo v'lamalo yifto b'miyuto v'pnei shehu hamamid hagvina v'hol v'davar ha'asar hu shehemid hare hakol asar k'moshi yisbar. Now the Rambam uncharacteristically raises a question and gives an answer to it. Now, should it be argued that the membrane of the stomach is a minute quantity in proportion to the milk which is curdled by it, and therefore we should subject this to the rule that says that if you have a small quantity within a large quantity, it would be neutralized. And therefore, why do we consider this cheese to be forbidden? The answer is, it is the membrane which curdles the milk into cheese. It's not just some type of ingredient that falls into it. That forbidden ingredient is what makes the cheese into cheese. And seeing that it is the forbidden thing which causes the curdling, the whole mixture becomes forbidden, as will be explained in due course. The Rambam is saying that when does the law of nullification apply? That is if the forbidden substance is only there incidentally. But if the forbidden substance is the very basis of the whole thing that we're doing, we're trying to make cheese, then it does not become nullified. Halacha Yudal, paragraph 14. Kvina shemamidim osa hagoyim ba'asavim obame peros, kigon serafa te'en varehem nikarim ba'gvina, horum miktas haga'onim shehi asura. Shekvar gozru al kol gvinas hagoyim, bein shehem yidua bedavar asur, bein shehem yidua bedavar hamutar. Gzeira mishum shemamidim osa bedavar ha'asur. Now, what about cheese, which the non-Jews curdle with herbs or fruit juices, such as date, brandy, whose presence can be detected in the cheese? Some of the Gaonim, the post-Talmudic rabbis, have ruled that it is nevertheless forbidden. And this is so because the decree which the rabbis have made against the use of cheese of a non-Jew was issued against all types of non-Jewish cheese, whether it was set with a forbidden or even a permitted agent. And the reason why all forms are forbidden, it's a precaution. Seeing that the non-Jews usually curdle milk with forbidden matter, the rabbis made no distinction, and they said all cheeses of non-Jews should be forbidden. Halacha Tezvah, paragraph 15. Ha'ochel gvinas hagayim ocholav shechol v'gay ve'en yisro re'ehu makin osa makas mardus. Whoever eats of non-Jewish cheese or drinks milk milked by a non-Jew not in the presence of a Jew is liable to the flogging prescribed by the rabbis for rebelliousness, for disobedience. Hachemish Hogayim Mixas Hagonim Hitiruha Sher Harela Gazra Al Hachema V'Chalev Hatmeya Eina Omeid. Now, as far as the butter of a non-Jew, some of the Gaonim, the post-Talmudic rabbis, permitted it, because there is no decree that was ever issued against butter per se, and that the milk of unclean animals does not curdle. Therefore, it is impossible that non-kosher milk would have become butter. However, the Rambam continues, and Mikzas Hagonim Asaruha Mepnei Tzach Tzuche Cholav Sheishar Ba Sheharei Hakom Shebechema Eina Me'ura V'Mechema Kadei Sheyivtal B'Miyuto. Other Gaonim, however, have forbidden it because of the drops of milk which remain in it, since the buttermilk does not mix with the butter in such a way as to become neutralized owing to its small quantity. And all of the non-Jewish milk, we are concerned lest they might have mixed in it the milk of a non-kosher animal. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. Yiroi liish in laka chemem in hagayim, ubishla, achahol chalahem tzuchi chalav harizu meteres. Sheim tom nisar v'imahim nispashal kulam batal b'miyutam. Aval hachema shebishlo also gayim asura mishum giulei gayim kamoshi yisbar. It would appear to me, the Rambam says, this is his own view, that if one purchases butter from the non-Jews and cooks it until all the drops of milk evaporate, it would then be permissible, because if one will say that the milk got mixed up within the other things and it was all cooked together, then it's nullified, it's neutralized because of its insignificant amount. But the butter that was cooked by non-Jews is forbidden for another reason. It's forbidden on account of having been boiled in non-Jewish vessels, as will be explained in a subsequent chapter, chapter 17, that itself would constitute a prohibition. Halacha Yudzayin, paragraph 17. Yisrael sheyasha b'tzad ha'eder shel goy, uvo ha'goy behevi lechalav min ha'eder, av ha'pi sheyesh bo'eder behema t'meya, harei zeh mutar. If a Jew is seated very close to the herd owned by a non-Jew, and the non-Jew brings him milk from the herd, even though in this herd there is a non-kosher animal, it is nevertheless permissible to drink that milk. V'av ha'pi sheyesh osel cholav, even though the Jew did not actually see the milking. However, the Rambam says, "Vahu, that is provided sheyachal lirosa kishu cholev kishayamod shahagoy misyari lachlov minatmeya shemayamod v'yiroso." That if the Jew can see the milking of the cow, if he would stand up, then it is permissible, because then the non-Jew is afraid to milk the non-kosher animal, lest the Jew would stand up and observe him doing so. Only then would it be kosher. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Beitza sheshnei rasheha kadin, or sheshnei rasheha kadin, or shehaya chelmon mibachutz v'chelbon mibifnim, b'yadua shehi beitas of tamei. An egg that is round appointed at both ends, or has the white inside the yolk, is certainly the egg of an unkosher bird. Rosha echad kad v'rosha echad chad v'chelbon mibachutz v'chelbon mibifnim, efshe shehi beitas of tamei, efshe shehi beitas of tahar. If one end is pointed and the other rounded, and the yolk is inside the white, it may belong either to a clean or to an unclean species of bird. Lefichach, shoel etzayud Yisrael shemochra. Im amelo shel of ploni hu v'of tahar hu samachalav. V'im amelo shel of tahar v'lo amelo shemo ena samachalav. What does one do in a case like this? A person should question a Jewish hunter who is selling the egg. If he says that it is the egg of a certain bird which he specifies by name, and if that bird is a kosher one, then you could rely on that hunter. But if he says it is the egg of a kosher bird, but without specifying the name of the bird, one should not rely upon that hunter. Halacha Yotes, paragraph 19. Lefichach ein lokhem beitzim min hagayim elim hayamakir osam v'yesh lo behent v'yisayin shehen beitzim of ploni hatar. Therefore, the Rambam concludes the idea that he mentioned in Halacha Yotes. A person should not purchase eggs from a non-Jew unless he recognizes them and has expert knowledge that they are the eggs of a specific bird which is kosher. V'ein choshishim lehen shemehein beitzei treifo beitzei nevela. And we're not afraid, maybe these eggs are the eggs of a treifa or of nevela. Treifa is the bird who has a disease and is not kosher. Nevela is a chicken or a bird that has been killed, but not through shechita, not through the ritual way. And that is forbidden as well, and the egg would be forbidden. We're not afraid that that should be the case. Nowadays, we buy eggs from non-Jews, even though they don't specify that it's from a kosher bird, because now most eggs that are found within our regions, within our communities, are of a kosher species. V'ein lokhim in hagayim beitza trufa klal. One should not, under any circumstances, purchase beaten eggs from a non-Jew. Halacha chav, paragraph 20. Beitze dagim simonehem kisimani beitze ha'of. Im hayu shnei rasheha, kadin o chadin tmeya. Echad kad v'echad chad, shoel lo yisraeli ha'mocher. Im amar lo ani malachtim behotzeisa midag tahar ochal al piv. The eggs of fish are to be identified by the same signs as the eggs of fowl. If both sides are rounded or both sides are pointed, it is not kosher. If one side is rounded and one side is pointed, then you have to ask a Jew who's selling the eggs. If he says to the purchaser, I was the one who salted them and had removed them from a kosher fish, you can eat on the basis of that person's testimony. However, if he just says flatly, they are of a kosher species, one does not rely on that person unless he's a person who is known to be trustworthy in these matters. That is, in matters of keeping the laws of kashrus. Halacha chafal, paragraph 21. V'chein, ein lokhim gevina v'chatichas dag she'ein basimin, elam yisraeli shehugza b'kashrus. One should not purchase, likewise, cheese or a piece of fish that has no identification sign, unless it comes from a Jew who is known, who has an established reputation as being reliable in matters of the Jewish dietary laws. Avol be'eretz Yisrael, k'shehoyse ruba Yisrael, lokhim mikol Yisrael shabba. However, in Israel, in the days that the majority of the inhabitants of Israel were Jews, one is allowed to purchase from any Jew who resides in Israel. One relies that it came from the majority. Milk may be purchased from a Jew anywhere. Halacha Chav Beis, paragraph 22. Hakovej dagim tmeim tziram aser. A person who pickles unkosher fish, the brine of the fish is forbidden. Aval tzir chagavim tmeim mutter. However, the brine of unkosher locusts is permitted. Mipnei she'ein behem lachluchis, since locusts have no fluid in their bodies. Fichach ein lochin tzir min hagayim el imkein hayibo dog tahar mishotid bo afilu dog echad. Therefore, one should not purchase the brine of fish from non-Jews unless a clean fish, a kosher fish, is floating in it, even if it is only one fish. Halacha chav gimel, paragraph 23. A non-Jew who brings a crate full of open jugs of brine and a single kosher fish is floating in one of them, all are permitted. If the jugs are closed and he opens two in succession and a clean fish is found in both, then all are likewise permitted. The fact that he found in two consecutive ones, kosher fish, indicates that that sets the standard for all the rest of them. Otherwise, if he just finds a kosher fish in one, and the other ones are still sealed, that would not guarantee that all the others are kosher, because they're not considered as one, since they're not all open. In contrast to the preceding case, in which all the barrels were open, they are all considered as one. However, the Rambam qualifies this. V'hu sheyia rosho shel dog v'shidro kayom kidei sheyehe nikar shehu dog tahar. When is it permitted? Only when the head and the spine of the fish are preserved, so that a person can recognize it as a kosher fish. L'fichach ein lochim dogim merutzatzim meluchim min hagayim v'heim hanikrayim tris trufa. Therefore, one should not purchase salted minced fish, which is called hashed tris. One should not purchase it from non-Jews, because there are no identification signs. However, if the head and the spine of the fish are recognizable, even though the fish is minced, it may be purchased from a non-Jew. Halacha Chavdal, paragraph 24, and the final halacha of this chapter. Goy shehevi grob shechatichos dog shechituchem shove v'heim nikar shekulam midog echad. A non-Jew brings a keg of fish cut up in such a way as to make it obvious that all the pieces belong to one fish. Should scales be found in one piece, on one of those pieces, all of the pieces are considered to be kosher, because we assume that they are all from the same species and they are all kosher. However, it's implicit in these words of the Rambam that if they're not all cut at the same way, then the fact that one of them has scales on it would not mean that all the rest are kosher as well, only the one that has the scales on it. With this, the Rambam concludes Perek Shlishi of Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the third chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods.